You're listening to Rafael Skeet on the Caribbean Radio Show with sports, chat, and more.
Hey, welcome, welcome to see that. We got a great show for you tonight. At the 15-minute of the hour, we're going to have Steve Munson. Steve Munson is a former professional pitcher with the Milwaukee Brewers. Coach in Australia. And at the bottom of the hour, we're going to have Jermaine Lewis from Antigua and Barbuda. She's very instrumental in the youth and actually Antigua and Barbuda itself. She's doing everything she can to make sure that they shine on the mountain, man. We're looking forward to have a conversation with them. Well, we're gonna have a late coming with Tony. Tony Hilton should be here a little bit later this evening, and we had a little bit of bad news last week with one of our colleagues, Andrew D. Dixon, lost his grandma, and I know it's hard on him, and he said that he probably going to stop in for 10, 15, maybe 20 minutes to have a conversation with us. So, again, just to let you guys know, the heavy heart, Dixon lost his grandmother. I think he lost his mom almost a year and a half ago. So, I mean, this man is strong. He still managed to keep his head up and smile and have a good time. But we all know it's hard on him, and he struggles to take care of grandma for a long time. He would not leave anywhere without grandma's okay. And he called me, I think the day before grandma passes, man. He told me, I think he was supposed to be on the radio last Monday, and he told me grandma's not feeling well. You know, she looked like she's doing, you know, real bad. And the very next day he texted me and told me grandma passed. So, you know, with all condolences, it's a heavy heart for a guy. You know, when Dixon's on the show, it's a lot. He uplifts this show, man, and he keep this show going. So, you know, hopefully if we get him on tonight, you know, we're gonna be the one to make him laugh and have a good time, because usually he's the one that does it for us. So again, by 8:15 we'll have Steve Munson. Steve Munson gonna come in. We'll have a little conversation, and then at the bottom of the hour we will have Ms. Jermaine Lewis from Antigua Barbuda. I get mixed up sometimes with the Barbuda, but it's Barbuda. So we'll go ahead and we'll start the program and let you guys know. If you guys want to call in, man, feel free to call in. We have a lot of listeners that log in. So we're internet radio, and we're here on CRS Radio, the Caribbean Radio Network. Again, we're Sports Chat and More. We talk about sports. We talk about everything else beyond sports. Sports is life, and life is sports. So we try to make sure that everything, we cover every aspect. We talk to anyone that have something to do with their community and uplift their community. Any information that we can sit down and have them tell their story the way they want it to be told in their community, because we're not in the community. They're the only one that can actually tell us what's going on in their community. So we want to give, we all always have an open platform. You know, if you want to come on, we want to sit 15, 20 minutes, tell us about you, your community, what project you're working on in your community. We are always open table for you to have a conversation and talk about what you talk about. I'm sitting here talking about this, but we're going back to the NBA's playoff is actually going right now. And my Lakers lost their first game against Denver. I'm going to try to run down and see some of the scores that we have going on, man, because on Saturday, I think it started Saturday, where Cleveland beat the Orlando Magic. The Suns fell to Timberwolves on Saturday. At the same Saturday, we had 76ers. Got knocked out by the Knicks. Knicks have a strong team this year, man. And I guarantee you, I think they're going to go past the first round and see what's going on there. We also have the Lakers. They lost to Denver Nuggets. You know what? I think Lakers still have life. I don't think it's going to be a they're going to sweep them. I think Lakers have an opportunity this evening at 10 o'clock. They have a 10 o'clock game tonight. And I think the Lakers going to come back from this. If Lakers take one in Denver, it could be a very interested playoff. Because trust me, you got the King on the other side of the court. Is nothing as easy when he's on the court, man. Because I still think that he's the best basketball player ever laced up sneakers to play basketball. Everybody's talking about Jordan and they're talking about Kobe. I respect the game, but none is better than LeBron James. LeBron James came out of high school with high expectation and at high school, and it's never he never failed the people that talked about him. He can actually guard the 1-5. He can guard all everybody. He can play a point guard, forward, play whatever it is. You know, the guy's 39 years old and still performing at I would say not his level of height, but the level of height the NBA has right now, because nobody can tell me right now that LeBron is not top five player in the NBA right now. If they tell me otherwise, then they're not looking at the right game. So you also have Celtics beat the Heat 114-94. And then let me see else. We have Clippers knocked off Mavericks 109-97. And yesterday's game, we had the Bucks beat Pacers 109-94. Pelican actually lost to the Thunder. Thunder is a good team this year, a young good team this year. It was a close game, 94-92. The Cavs right now, they're playing tonight with the Cavs and the Magic. Cavs up 54-42. And the Knicks are down to the 76ers, 25-18. Lakers, again, like I told you earlier, Lakers will be playing tonight at 10 o'clock. And tomorrow, you know, you have the Spurs and Thunder, Pacers and Bucks, and start all over again and get it going. So, you know, we can talk about who's the best and who's not the best, but like again, the playoff is really good. I love the playoff. It started off being, I like the play-in. A lot of people didn't like the play-in, but I like the play-in. I think the play-in, I give a lot of teams who probably had a good opportunity, probably had a bad slump, and then tried to come back to the playoff and giving them an opportunity to get into the playoff. But they didn't make it easy for them to just walk into the playoff, because you still have a lot going on. Today's games, baseball, let's go over to the baseball aspect of things. The baseball, we had the Phillies. They're like the mid-six inning. They're up on the red, 6-0. Brewers 1-1 in the top of the sixth. Tigers 6-0, top of the sixth again Rays, and then we have let me see, the Braves, they're playing they're at four in the top of the fourth, 0-0. They're playing the Marlins, young team, they're looking good. Tigers 6-0 again, top of the sixth against the Rays. Brewers losing to No, I'm sorry. The Brewers is 1-1 with the Pirates, also top of the sixth. So, we're looking at some of the scores. We'll give you scores as they go. We're trying to make sure that we have everything at your hand. If anybody want to know and want to find anything out, man, just feel free to give us a call. Hit us on online. Let us know what's going on and what you're looking for, what you want to talk about. We're open format. We're like a roundtable format, man. We're like a group that's around the table and have conversation. Myself, before Steve Munson come in, I know Steve years ago, we played on the same team. And this guy is one of those happy-go-lucky guy, he's always keep the dugout, the clubhouse lit. You know, he's one of those guys that you cannot be, there's no way Steve Munson is around and it's quiet. I mean, that's just his voice carries like all across the field, man. He's one of those guys that you always, you know, when you're on the field, you always look around and say, where's Steve at? Where's Munson? We call him Munson. So we're going to have an opportunity to have a little conversation with him today. And then at the bottom of the hour, we'll have Ms. Jermaine Lewis. Ms. Jermaine Lewis is from Antigua and Barbuda. She, when we met on actually we met on Facebook. I think there was a gentleman that reached out to me from Antigua, and I think I reached back, and there were two different entities, and I'm glad that I had the opportunity to speak with her. I want to say that she was the person I thought contacted me, so I reach out, and I'll be honest with you, I'm glad I reach out to her, because we actually start having conversation and start thinking big. She's a very big thinker. She's seen nothing but greatness in Antigua, and she wanted to see Antigua on the top of the top of the hill, and that's all she could see. She worked hard with the youths baseball. She had a couple of she's about when we met, it was about the Little League. We're trying to get something done with the Little League. And it's when I say trying to get something done, the journey's not over yet. We're still in the journey, starting to make it happen. We're not, knowing her, she never gives up. She's always working, always talking, always wants something to happen. Any youngster that have a conversation with her and have a dream, she's one of the person that will try to make that dream a reality. She takes their dream and make it, turn it to her journey to make things happen for them. And so it's always a pleasure to have a conversation with her. We haven't talked for a while, so I'm trying to catch up with her, see what she's doing now. And the last time I know we spoke, I know she was running for office, and she was busy doing that. So I really didn't want to distract her from her ultimate journey and going. So I'm glad she got some time to talk to me, and not just me. She'd be talking to us, everybody on the CRS radio listening airwave. So we're going to have conversation with her and ask her what's going on, lately these days. Because when you find out is when I'm finding out. It's not like I know what's going on. So the good thing is that we're going to find out what's going on with Jermaine together. So we're looking forward to have a conversation with her. Again, I want to reiterate that our co-host, Tony, will be in a little late. He has some business he's taking care of. He should be in a little bit. If he's not, we always got his love. He always check in and see how things went. So we're going to have a conversation with him as soon as he walked in. Dixon, again, we know that, he's always always there. He always listening, or he always gonna come through and say hi. He's a heavy heart. We all have a heavy heart. We all say, like I said earlier, he lost his grandmother, and we want to make sure that he's doing well. It will be nice to have that conversation with him and see what's going on, and talk to him a little bit. So in the meanwhile, I'm gonna have a sit down and have a conversation and with Mr. Munson and catch up with him a little bit and invite him. Hey, how you doing tonight, man? Glad to have you on the show.
My brother.
How you doing, man?
How have you been? I'm doing well, thank you.
I can't complain, man. It's such a pleasure just having you on the show, man. I was telling the Steve, I remember, man, keep the dugout alive, man. He's one of those guys that everybody wants to be around because somebody's going to laugh if Steve's around. But tell us a little bit about what Steve's doing and tell everybody a little bit about yourself and what you got going on right now.
Well, I live on the East Coast of the United States here in Maryland, home of the reigning AL East champ Baltimore Orioles, my boy's former team.
Oh, you got to rub it in. You got to rub it in, huh? I like that. I like that.
Well, I'm just saying that's who you came up with. I remember you when we were youngsters and, you were the speedy boy from the islands and, you could track down anything and steal bases against anybody. So I wanted everybody to know that I don't forget, where I come from either. I know talent.
There you go. I appreciate that.
I gravitate to my brothers, Now, yes, my voice carries, and it still carries today. I'm down there at the alma mater at my old high school now, and we were 2022 state champs in the 3A here in Maryland.
Hey, congratulations,
and,
man.
Appreciate that. And I always, you know, watch on Facebook with like you and Dee. And I guess you guys are doing some Caribbean baseball thing where you guys are taking teams, I want to say, to Florida and places and playing in tournaments and stuff.
Yeah, Dixon have a program that he do in Florida, but actually he do it in Jamaica as well. He renew and revamp Jamaica, and I was doing the St. Martin part of it to make sure that, you know, we open up the whole Caribbean to baseball. So yes, you're right.
Are you still in Aruba or in the Antigua?
No, I'm actually in. I've been living in Atlanta for a while, man. I've been living in Atlanta for almost 20 years. But I always go back home in the islands and try to get baseball and keep baseball bubbling. You know,
okay.
I had a tournament where I had it called RSCBI. In short, it means Rafael Skeet Baseball Invitational. I did it for almost four years in the island of St. Martin. I haven't done it in the last 3 years because baseball started rebuilding and start doing it again. So I figure, well, I did my job to keep it going, to start it, and I wanted them to keep it going. So I'm hoping that happened. I hear some news that they have a revamp in how they're doing baseball, but hopefully they keep doing it. They keep doing what they're doing, man, because that's what I want to see. I want to see somebody make it further than I have from that island. That's my goal.
Well, I mean, and you should be proud because, you know, you got guys, you know, that have come from that area. I guess the X-Man's probably the most famous now, right?
Bogarts.
I think he's probably the most famous guy. But, yeah, just still involved in baseball one way or the other. I've either been a coach, an umpire, or some sort of baseball personnel since I've seen you last. And I coached over in Australia for three seasons, and I enjoyed that. I wish I would have done that when I was younger, back when Jaha and Nielsen were over there.
Right.
I was over there actually with one of my ex-teammates, rest in peace, my boy Greg Jelks, if you remember Greg.
Yes.
Well, Greg was an assistant coach with the Heat and living his life over there in retirement, and unfortunately he passed a couple years back.
Wow.
I don't know all the complications or whatever, but, you know, what an impact he had over there, both as a player and a coach. I know there's a lot of young men that have gone on to play and, you know, was tutored by him, and guys like Steve Fish and Andy Karam and all them guys over there. They're a good bunch of people, and Steve's got this thing called the World Baseball Tour. And that's how we found each other. He brought like two teams from Australia over to play a tour in the United States, and they came to where I was umpiring. And before the weekend was over, we were making plans for me to go to Australia to coach. So that's how quick it happened.
Right.
And, I got, you know, welcomed over there and accepted, and I was doing lessons during the day, and I got to coach at the academy. I got to be part of Baseball WA. You know, I was very, very touched with the things I got to do. And the year we brought our kids back to tour, I actually met my current wife that I'm with now almost 10 years. And, she actually met us on the tail end of the she came there on the first 9 days of the tour, and she had so much fun she came back for the last end of the tour. So we made sure everybody got back on the flight successfully, and then we took a little vacation of our own and made our way back home later on.
That's awesome. That's awesome. You know, speaking of that, I don't know if you remember Brian Du Bois, a pitcher for the Orioles, and he ended up pitching for the Detroit Tigers, lefty pitcher. We talked about 2 or 3 years ago, man, and found out that he passed away last year as well, man. So, you know, a lot of great guys that we play with or against, man. We know age catch. I remember last week, it's funny that, you know, we thought we were above the rim, kind of, you know. Like, now I'm looking at these young kids that I'm coaching, and they call me old man, you know. So I'm like, wait a minute, now I'm old man, you know. So I said, man, if you guys don't know, I said, old man, I have had fun when I play the game. I give it everything I got, I had, you know. So one of the things that I enjoy doing is meeting people like yourself, man. Every time I had an opportunity to see names, especially on Facebook, man, I would always jump and talk. Hey, you know, like talk to the guys, because these are people that I mold, and that mold me as family. Because, you know, being away from the Caribbean island as far as I was, you know, these are my new family. So you guys really mean a lot, knowing you guys and making sure that I was part of the baseball family. So that's a great thing.
Yeah, I tell you, I mean, I look back on those days and I can't believe it's been long, and I still have that churn in my belly, not only for the game, but, you know, like you say, missing the guys. And not to get all choked up about it, but, like, you know, when I was on the tour with those guys, we were in Oregon, Washington, and California. And while we were up there, we were in Oregon, and I run into Jaha. And, you know, me and him were boys. And the next thing you know, the year after that, his son was on our tour. So, you know, his son played with us a year. So it's just amazing that how small the baseball world is. Wherever you go, you take two or three dots, and the next thing you know, you're connected with somebody.
Exactly.
And to also tell you that, you know, I recently reconnected back with Big Fitz. You know, you remember Fitzy, Danny Fitzpatrick. I reconnected with him. I saw Al Sadler just last summer at a convention that I had up at one of his hotels. And let's see, who else? I talked to Mac a lot on the Facebook. You know, we've spoke a couple times on the phone. I talked to Carl Marall. You know, so I still have a lot of connections that I still talk to. And, you know, it kills me sometimes that, like you were saying about we lost some guys. I didn't know what happened to Narciso. And I heard some tragic news about him and his son in Mexico. You know, I won't go into depth right now. We can talk about it another time. But unfortunately, him and his son passed. And Randy Varies, if you remember Randy passed away.
Wow.
It's just like guys you went to high school with. We're at that age now where, you know, we got people that are leaving us, and it's way too early. And I actually was so excited when you reached out to me last week or whatever it was and asked me, would I do it? I'm like, you know, remember who I am. You asking me to, you know, would I like to talk to you on the radio? Of course I talk to you on the radio. It doesn't have to be the radio.
I never sit
out there shagging flies with you in the outfield. You know, what do you think, Mo? You know, how was my swing last night? Or, you know, what do you think this guy's got? You know, it was always fun because, you know, after being a catcher and a player, you know, now you're a pitcher and you don't even get, you know, once every 5 days, or if you're a reliever, maybe every other day. And it was still cool that I had a lot of you position guys would always come back up to me and almost treat me like a coach. You know what I mean? It's like, it was fun, you know.
You are very vocal, but you are like a jovial type guy. You know, a guy that everybody likes to be around and have a conversation with, and Like I said, you could be on the next side of the room, but everybody know that Munson's there. Munson's here. You know what I'm saying? There he is. You know, you can hear your voice very well. And it's one of those things where you were one of the teammates that you always look for. You know, where is he at? You know, because you were the life of wherever you were at. And that's one thing I like about it. I love being around you in the clubhouse and in the dugout.
I appreciate that. And I'll tell you one thing, like you're saying, one of them easy ways to remember that, when we used to go to spring training and we had all those lockers and it was like several rows of lockers, it wouldn't matter if I was in the first row or the fifth row. Someone would say, you know, I could hear you all the way over on the other side of the room or something like that, you know.
It was a fun voice. It's like, you should have been an opera singer, man. You should have been an opera singer.
As much as I love to do karaoke and stuff like that, you know, I don't know if they'd like keep me around very long. I don't know about if I can hold that shit or not.
Hey, but that's okay.
When's the next move? Are you doing any more youth stuff or...
I'm a husband and wife to come see
you in Jamaica or the islands to help you coach it.
Right now in Atlanta, I'm a co-owner of a organization called The Savage Academy. We do 11 up to 16 years old. We end the tournaments. We're in the spring now with 11, 12, and 13. We do 9 tournaments for the spring with the 11, 12, and 13, and then we're going to have another 8 tournaments with the 14, 15, and 16 coming up. So, yeah, I'm busy, man. I just love being on the baseball field, coaching and teaching these kids, these young men, I should say. You know, the parents, you know, sometimes it's hard when you do that. A lot of parents, you know, knowing the level that we played, and sometimes some of the parents can't see through the teaching and the caring that you're doing as a coach. Sometimes you got to really explain them and hit them right between the eyes and let them know, you know, this is how we got to get to the point where you want to go, you know. But yeah, that's what I do, man. And we're trying to get a team together to go to St. Martin in November. There's an international tournament in November, like the 15th. I would say the second week of November, that they'll have Aruba, Curacao, St. Martin, I think the Dominican Republic, and maybe a team from the Netherlands is going to be there to play after that tournament. So I'm hoping that's still going. And so that's what I'm doing, man. I'm still busy trying to get the youth. We're trying to get Jamaica on board, trying to get Dixon is fighting hard to help and get Jamaica with baseball. I think last year they were in the Bahamas. They played the Beirut League in the Bahamas. So this year he's trying to do the same thing. So I may reach out to you, just so you know that I may reach out to you, and so you can help us out and get a trip, get a nice staycation down in the islands with us, man.
All I can tell you is the bags are packed, and if you need my services, I'm there, brother.
I got you. I know that's you. That's you, man. Hey, Steve, thanks for coming on, man. I appreciate you, man. You're the best. You know, that's not the last. I'm definitely going to look out at you again and try to get you some more, man. We'll talk some more. I appreciate you coming to the program. I know getting you on the show, starting out the program, are going to make it a great program. So thanks, man. We'll talk again another time. I appreciate you so much.
Anytime you need me, I look forward to it, man. It was a blast. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Have a good night, and you take care of yourself, Ralphie.
All right. You hear from me again, Steve. Talk to you.
All right, look forward to it. Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Rafael Skeet on the Caribbean Radio Show with sports, chat, and more.
Hey, that's my guy, Steve, man, Steve Munson. I mean, like I said, we talk tonight as if we've been talking every day, man. That's a lot of people don't understand. Sports is a very, very unique thing where – you may not talk to someone 4, 5, 6, 10, 12, 20 years, but when you pick up the phone and start talking, man, it's the brotherhood that you had with that one person. It never goes away. I remember I would say about, man, I would say maybe 15 years ago, I I get the phone up and I call Eddie Murray, and me and him just sit and talk, you know, and just talk as if we we just talked the other day. You know, I'll give you guys a story Ms. Lewis comes on. I remember I was in the outfield shagging. At that time, I didn't make the major league roster yet. It was a year before I got on the major league roster, and I was on. They had me after my minor league practices over. They would send me down to downtown Miami to shag. Shag means just catch fly balls while the big leagues are hitting around. And Cal Ripken came next to me, and Cal was like, you that kid, you know, you that guy they're talking about, you know. And I'm shy, and I didn't want to boast a little and say, yeah, well, like, yeah, they say, if you say so. And he looked down at my cleats, my shoes, man. You know, if I'm in the minor leagues, I got one cleat that I warm up with, play with, I did everything with. And he looked down at my shoes, and he was like, let me see your shoes, you know. And I lift my cleats up and show it to him. And he started laughing. He was like, man, do you imagine if you really had cleats and not sneakers, how fast you really could be? And so he started laughing, and he called Eddie Murray over. And Eddie Murray came over, and they both started laughing at me. But it wasn't a laugh of laughing at me. It was a laughter of laughing with me, because when about 5 minutes later, he said, come on, man, let's go. And him and I left the field. You know, you can leave the field, because Cal Ripken said you can leave the field. I left the field. We went in the locker room, and he asked me, what size are you wearing? I said, size 10. And again, like I said, I'm in the minor leagues, had one pair of shoes, and those cleats just wore down. They're almost like I'm wearing sneakers, to be honest with you. And he walked in and looked into every locker. You know, he wasn't wearing my size, but he walked into every locker that has size 10. And he took a cleat out and put it in a mesh bag. And he took wristbands. He took batting gloves. And he just go into every locker that had. He looked in every locker, and he looked to size 10. By the time I left the Major League camp that night, I had about five pair of shoes. My mesh bag was loaded with wristband and batting glove that he gave me. And it was like one of those things where, you know, when they say Carl Ripken is a nice guy, it's an understatement, man. This guy he's like, you know, he doesn't act as if he's this big. He never acted like he was this big superstar. And ever since then, even when the following year I got in the Major League roster with him and Cal Ripken, I mean, him and Eddie Murray and Joe Osalak and all those guys, man, they was like the nicest teammates you can ever have, man. Also, I had an opportunity to room with, he was the relief pitcher for the Philadelphia Phillies, left-handed pitcher, I'll get his name, but he was my roommate, and these guys, man, when you was a young kid and you look at these guys, In the big leagues, you would think that, you know, they're different. But, man, these guys are so down to earth. And because I rub elbows with those guys and play on the same team with these guys, it was so easy for me to transition myself as a major league player or top player in the organization. We do what we have to do, man, and make sure everything. And that's why it's so easy for me to go back to St. Martin. Like Steve was asking what I do and if I go back to the island. Yes, when I left the island, I think you guys will hear that's from me. As long as you're on this program, you can always hear me talk about the appreciation that I had, when I play. Little island of St. Martin. There were no professional ball players there, but we made that it was standing room only. I'm talking at Saturdays when we played, there was no lights. You know, we played Saturday until it getting darker. The schedule was always perfect. It was never nighttime. If there was a dark space, they called the game off until the next day or something like that. But we play Saturdays or Sundays, and it's daytime. There's no lights. And when people get off from work, they come straight to the baseball field. It was standing room only. So I love the fact that I was a part of that. And from being a Caribbean baseball player to having almost no lights to being a major league park, it's you can't do anything else but enjoy both sides of the world. You know, so it's a great thing just to be part of that, man. I love every moment that we had. So it's fun just to be part of it. So while I want to bring this hardworking lady in, Ms. Jermaine, how are you doing today? Ms. Jermaine?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
I'm like, wait a minute, you can't, I know you throw me away, but you can't throw me away all the time, you know what I'm saying?
Never. We're neighbors.
I want to stay quiet right now and give me and everybody else the honor. Tell us about you first, the Jermaine Lewis, and then tell us what's going on in Antigua, what you're doing in Antigua, and what you're still trying to make happen in Antigua. So the floor is yours, man. It's my honor to do this.
Well, it's a privilege to be a part of the program this evening. Just to inform everyone, I am Jermaine P. Lewis from the beautiful Isle of Antigua and Barbuda. And you can say that I am a homegrown child, although you may hear a little accent. I lived overseas for many years, so you'll hear a little of the American accent. But now I reside back in Antigua and Barbuda. Just to inform the public that I'm very much engrossed in sports, along with other major things that happen here in Antigua. And then I have a background as a political aspirant, a carpenter, a mom of two. There's so many things that I do. But overall, I am true to the game of baseball. Does that work?
It definitely worked. But, you know, it's good to be the second best island in the Caribbean after St. Martin. That's okay. we could agree to disagree, you know, but that's okay. What you got going on right now today or what's coming up in Antigua? Not just baseball, whatever. What you got your hands in right now?
Well, the major thing that we're about to host here in Antigua is the SIDS 4 Conference, Small Island Developing States Conference, is going to take place in Antigua in a matter of 5 weeks. So we're looking forward to hosting over 39 countries here in Antigua. The first time it was held in the Caribbean, it was down in Barbados. But now we are hosting it here in Antigua. And this conference occurs every 10 years, whether it's Rwanda in Africa, wherever the small island states are. Someone will put in a bid, but we want the bid to have it in 2024. And the next conference will actually take place in 2034. So we are honored that Antigua is hosting that conference. And then even before the conference take place, we have Sailing Week, which commences from the 27th until the 4th of May. So we are looking forward, 27th of April till the 4th of May. So we are looking forward to having persons from all over come and be a part of Sailing Week here in Antigua. Then we go into cricket. We are going to be hosting the ICC World Cup here in Antigua. And then thereafter, we have Carnival coming up in July. So we do have quite a full schedule for anything that you want to do in Antigua. Even within the sporting arena, we have basketball. Of course, we have our softball teams. We have our football. So many things that are happening around the island. So we just want to invite persons to come forward and just to celebrate in Antigua, whatever you want to celebrate, whether it's a birthday, whether it's a honeymoon, whatever the case may be, 365 beaches, you cannot complain at all.
Definitely not. Definitely not.
What's the age range for the cricket tournament that you guys are going to have? Is that age range to it?
Well, actually, that's going to be the senior team for the West Indies. They will be playing quite a few of the games here in Antigua. It's throughout the Caribbean, and we're hosting in June. I believe it's going to be the first week of June that we commence hosting. So the trophy, the ICC trophy, was just in Antigua. It's making its rounds throughout all the different islands in which cricket will be played, the World Cup will be played. St. Lucia got it over the weekend, and then it goes on and on to the different Caribbean islands that will be hosting the World Cup.
That's just a tease then. If just teasing them. You go from island to island, but only one island.
Yes. It certainly is a tease.
Okay.
So, but I have to say, I know it's your carnival period in St. Martin, and just to share with you, one of our queens, she's there representing Antigua, Miss Corbin. She's delegate number 4, I believe, and she's Itcha Kelly Corbin. She's representing us here from Antigua.
Is it a Caribbean queen? Is a Caribbean a whole thing? Is how many islands you know that's in that pageant?
Well, if I'm not mistaken, I believe it's 8 or 9 persons from the different Caribbean islands. You have Haiti. I think I saw Jamaica. I am not sure all the other islands, but I know for sure Antigua is a part of.
Gotcha. So then, you're right about that. I think the carnival started this past week. I think it was up until May 5th or something like that. You know, I have not even been in a Martin carnival in almost 27 years. I need to at least be in a carnival again. It's crazy. I mean, as a kid, you know, it was just to go watch the parades and you know, go watch the show and stuff like that. But I haven't had a chance to go back to St. Martin to look at any of the
festivities.
I do that. But one day I think I
will. One of the things that I can say that I witnessed in communication with you over the past few years is that you are a true island boy at heart. I mean, no matter, you could take them out of the country, but you can't take the country out of them. And that's what you exhibited over the years, that you're now giving back. I mean, you've been giving back, but when I see how much you have ingrained yourself back into your home base, it means a lot to me that I myself continue to push, because I know I'm not alone.
And you know what, though? It's funny because it's just a passion. And Jermaine, it's like when you grew up in an island and you see the older folks work hard to do what they have to do, and when you leave there and the people that you grew up with, you know that if they had the opportunity, they would have, you know, they would have enjoyed doing what you're doing. And I have so much passion in the game, man. And sport, I have passion in the Caribbean islands. I was born in St. Kitts. You know, my parents left St. Kitts when I was 5. So, you know, those are some of the things that I actually carry along with me all these times, is just knowing I have the passion of the island. You know, that's how I look at it. So it's a good thing. It's a good thing that you see that in me, and I see it in you as well.
Can you repeat that for me, if you don't mind?
I was saying it's good that you see that passion in me, because I see the same passion in you as well. You know, this is something that I was saying earlier before you got on the radio that how we met, it was, I almost can't remember how we met, but I think it was somebody else that contacted me, and I contacted you by mistake, but I was glad that it was you that contacted, because everything went so well, you know, in the whole connection part of getting sport in the football.
Yeah. I mean, when it's someone else who introduced us, but when we recognized that we are like-minded, we kept in contact for all these years, and then we tried as much as possible to assist. You tried, of course, to assist me with some baseball situations here that I occurred, and I must say I was very grateful for that support that you had shared with me or assisted me with, because here it is coming back home to Antigua, and then you're getting involved in baseball. And the thing is, you know, oftentimes you're saying baseball is a Hispanic sport or Latino sport, and you're saying, no, it's not. The origin of this sport is from America, but yet still, I mean, now you can say it's predominantly Latinos who are captivated by this sport, because you link baseball and rounders together. It's one and the same. One, you're using your hat. The other, you're just using a bat. So with that said, we recognize that we have the need to push our sporting arena in the Caribbean further than it is. The scope of just having the cricket and just having the football is not enough. We need to give our children more options. And here it is, the outlet that we see that parents can rise out of poverty. Children can pull their families out of poverty. One of the quickest ways is through baseball. And not only that, to create wholesome citizens of whatever country that you're part of, because you have the Virgin Islands, you have Tortola, all these different places that play baseball, and we need to help our children to understand you have to work hard at anything that you do. Even if you're going to be a thief, you have to work hard at it, because there's someone out there who is better at it than you. You understand what I'm saying? We're not encouraging that behavior. We're not encouraging that behavior, but we want our young people to know that you have adults out here who are really concerned about your well-being, and we're here to push you as much as possible.
Correct. And it's weird, because I keep telling people that, you know, the environment that I grew up with, none of us had professional coaching. I used to tell this guy how to do something, he'd tell me how to do something, and vice versa, and on and on and on and on. I only got professional training when I left St. Martin, you know, to play professional ball. I never knew anything, especially so. Nowadays, I think kids are looking at television and thinking that that's where the training comes from. It doesn't. It comes from on the baseball field or on the basketball field or on the soccer field, football field, cricket field. It don't come from
right.
You know, being on TV and watching TV and all that stuff. It don't come from that. So it's about hard work. And I always tell them, hard work is just the beginning. I mean, it's nothing. You got to work hard. And I could tell people that, because you know I work in it. You know, so, you know, those are things that, like you said, that, you know, I see a Nike commercial where this one guy, they show this guy get up, you know, brush his teeth, get up, and put his clothes on, and he started jogging. And when he got to the baseball field, there were like 100 people there waiting, already working. So he wasn't the first. He thought he was the first one, but he wasn't. You know, there was 100 people out there doing the same thing that he was going to do. And that's an example of hard work. You're not the only one. There's people that making this thing make it work, and you've got to put the work in. You can't just think it's going to come easy. It's not, you know. And sometimes I look at it and I say, man, I wish people could understand what we mean by got to put the work in, you know. Because no matter what
indeed.
You do, you have to work. You have to work. Yeah, so, you know, that's some of the
things. And not only that, they have to put in the work. When you develop in your mindset that you're going to be a leader, you have to make sure that you submerge yourself in whatever you decide to do, that you're going to become the best at what you do. You know, that's what the focus has to be for our young people. And oftentimes we find in society now that our parents are not given, some of our parents, I should say, not given the support that our children need to get a grasp on life early. I recall growing up, I mean, we had to, you know, Raphael, we had to go fetch the water. We had to, you know, all these different things, sweep the yard and all. Children don't want to do chores anymore.
I did my share of that. You're right about that. I did my share, you know. So, I tell you, you're right about that. But you see, the thing, not only that, I remember, I think when I was playing ball and everybody was giving me, the other boys, you know, man, boy, you're going to be something. Mm-hmm. You're going to be something. And when I get home, I was just Raphael. I was just done. I still got to take the trash out. Still got to brush the yard. We call it sweep. We used to brush the yard, you know, go get this, go do that. I still had to wash dishes once a week, you know. So no matter how the outside world put me on that pedestal, when I came home, I was humble. I was still son. You know, you can't, don't come here with that fear, you know. So mm-hmm. I guess back in the day, people, to me, growing up, people enjoy every moment, not just baseball, not just soccer. Every moment you have, they enjoy every minute of it. You know, even if it's marble, like you play marble, the same thing.
I was just about to say that, playing marble, you know, and all these different things, playing stone, or we used to call it jacks.
Mm-hmm.
All these different mm-hmm. things is what taught us to count, because I mean with playing stone or jacks, you have to know how many of those stones you're going to pick up, and you know how much you have remaining and all. So we have to apply ourselves and encourage our young people to apply themselves, just like we were organizing what we are going to do for baseball in the Caribbean. Yes, the American territories, St. Croix, St. Thomas, St. John, do play baseball, but what about those other countries that are not American territories? You have Puerto Rico, which is, you know, American territory. So all the other countries, the archipelago of islands in going southwards, we are not known for baseball, but it's up to us now.
Right. You got your St. Kitts, Nevis, Tortola, and Anguilla. Yeah, you're right. But you see, let me
Grenada
tell you
Grenada and all those places.
You're right. I had a conversation with a friend of mine, and actually my brother, number one, I could never get him on the show because he don't like talking on the radio at all. But he was telling me it's the culture has to change. Because it's like you have to revamp the culture, because right now you have kids. Number one, you have people that's in the sport that really don't know
mm-hmm.
the sport as well mm-hmm. as the Americans or the U.S. Virgin Islands or Puerto Rico. They don't know the sport at that level, but they don't want to
mm-hmm.
let go. They don't want to let
Correct.
Go. Bring outside people in that know what they're doing.
And that's where you have square peg in round holes.
Exactly, and the level stays
mm-hmm.
right there. It's like mixing oil and water, and it never. Go ahead.
And, you know, that was the most heart-wrenching thing for me when I came to Antigua is that you have up until Little League, but thereafter Little League, what happens? So then there is a gap, and then they go into softball, which is beer league, because they're not, I call it beer league, because they're not here in Antigua, because they're not progressing in showing our children who would be 14 and 15 years old that, look, you can make a career out of this. And we have two young men right now. One of them is fully Antiguan parentage, who is overseas, and this is someone that you worked with, also that I introduced you to, one of our young people from Antigua, and that's Jared Francis. And then mm-hmm. you have Ovis Portes, who is a younger person. He is about 22 years old now, and Jared is just about 25 years old now,
right.
I believe. And both of them are looking to go pro.
And, you know, and one of the things that, and it's almost like you hate, and this, what I'm going to say is kind of crazy. When you are 22, 23, 24, 25, no longer a door. It becomes a window.
Yeah. So
the window of opportunity is getting smaller and smaller because...
Yeah, the gap,
Looking,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's really hard. And that's why I actually think that the Caribbean islands should have their own league. And if they have their own league, it opens up where the pros can come in and pick players out of that league like that. Because when you... You have guys, like you mentioned about the Spanish sport. And what happened is that everybody from Dominican Republic, you know baseball. That's not true. Okay? And
oh
I told you that the first time that we met, that's just a myth, you know? And there's people that would take their kids from all these islands and send them to Dominican Republic, and then in 4 years or 3 years, they're sent back to the islands. Because they teach them and preach this thing about, I can turn you pro, I can turn you pro. If anybody tell you they can turn you pro, walk away from them. They're lying.
Yes, run,
now,
run.
They can give you the tools. Yes. They can give you everything they can to give you an opportunity to, but they can't turn you. They're not the one signing you. And if and what happened is that sometimes one person out of maybe 100 make it, and that one person is what sells the ticket for everybody else. Because they're going to show that one person, I did this for that one person. So the other 99 going to go because of that, what happens to that one person. And then, so it become a sales pitch for everybody. But everybody from Dominican Republic don't know baseball. And I'm just letting you know.
That's
that everybody
correct.
Knows right
correct.
And
correct.
And they go to the
And not only that.
Go ahead.
And also, we recognize that a lot of them say, yes, I know. I know how to get you from A to Z, but the next thing is, in between, you're not saying, look, this will cost that amount. You have to invest this amount into what you want to get out of it. And they're not saying also that some of them mislead these young people, and these young people go astray because guess what? They start peddling a few dollars in front of them, and these young persons will start thinking, yes, I have arrived, but no, you haven't.
No.
And oftentimes we have that situation.
Well, let me tell you something, Jermaine, and my numbers may be off a little bit. There's 980 baseball players, Major League Baseball players, right now. Out of that 980 players, you have Dominican, Puerto Rican, Venezuelan, you know, people from Europe, China, Japan, right? So that makes it smaller. That makes the bucket smaller. And then you have the minor league. That 980 doesn't include minor leagues. It doesn't include high school.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't include college.
Mm-hmm.
So if you as a young man, a young athlete, you see how much people that's already there. So what's going to make you stick out? What's going to make you be that person? You know, so you can't just think that, oh, it's easy to get there and I can pay this amount of money and this and this coach going to get them there. No, that's not. It's not that easy. You've got to work hard to make it happen. And sometimes, be honest with you, to look at the other side is not what you know is who you know. Sometimes some people think
that's right.
But
so
it's going to be
so true.
But it's going to be more if you take your kid to Dominican, your kid got to be that kid from the other island. Better be way heads above the Dominican ball player because they're going to sign. They're going to put the Dominican player forward. I mean, that's just
so true.
This is, and
so
nothing
true.
Against them. That's just how it is.
Yes. That's the truth. I concur with you. And a lot of persons don't realize that. And we have to start looking out for our Caribbean young lady, young man, you know, to make sure that we're pushing them forward. Just like every other nationality push their nationals forward, we have to focus and do the same. We have to form one alliance and make sure that we are supporting each other.
And I think one of the things that we, the Caribbean, have to realize and really realize is that don't look at going to be a pro right off the bat. Look for schools. Look for schools to play baseball.
Yes.
You know, it could be junior college, it could be Division III, Division II, Division I, NAIA. Look for schools.
Yes. Yes.
If you can play the game, they will find you. They will find you.
Indeed.
Exactly. So those are the things that a lot of people don't do.
And another thing that a lot of persons are not realizing, when you go to the Latin countries, to get these players now, the problem that they're having is that you get the players and now you have to actually teach them English. And that's where a lot of the major league teams are having an issue, because now you have to take that downtime to make sure you're teaching this player how to speak, you know, the common language of baseball, which is English. And
Right now, Jermaine, what they're doing is having academies now. Like, if you go to Dominican Republic, Curacao, Aruba, wherever it is, they have academies where they're teaching them baseball and English language at the same time. That's some of the advantage they're given. Because right now, Curacao and Aruba is rubbing elbows with Dominican Republic where talent is in
the league.
They're doing what they can now. I have a friend of mine, real good friend of mine, Hensley Mullins, where he's with the Colorado Rockies. And we talked last week. I was trying to get him on the show sometime. And some of the things that I have to understand is when Curacao started to open the door and build, like, they, you know, the old saying, you build it, they'll come. That's what Aruba and Curacao build the facilities and start training. So a lot of islands.
The players will come, yes. Mm-hmm.
They will come. They take the blueprint from the Dominican Republic, because it was the Dodgers who started the academy in Dominican. The Dodgers, the Blue Jays, they started in Dominican Republic.
Yeah.
And now it's spreading, to spread to Curacao, spread to Aruba. You got to put the money in. If you have to invest and you want something done, you have to invest in the youth. Because I always believe if you forget your past, you forget your past, you would never know what your future looks like.
That is so true. And you have persons like Alex Isaac and the Roberto Smalls and all these different guys who want to see baseball develop in the Caribbean. But again, what we need to make sure that we have also, we need to have professional players coming into the Caribbean and meet and greet with these young people, giving them a hope, giving them the opportunity to recognize, look, this baseball player came to Antigua and, he had training with us and all these different things. Think about the Caribbean, you know, come and help us.
Yeah.
Because we do need the help, and we do.
I was going to say this is a little above, and you're 100% right. One of the problems I think the Caribbean has, Jermaine, is the way to get around to the Caribbean islands. the flight, the airlines. It's so hard to get from one island to the other. And if we had an easy way to get from island to island, it could grow the sports as well. You understand what I'm saying?
I am going to brag a little that my prime minister is seeking to get LEAD, which is usually the airline for the Caribbean, back up and running. We're hoping to have that that airline up and running in about 3 weeks or so, so that we can, the island hopping will become less strenuous for, you know, persons who want to travel throughout the Caribbean.
No, beautiful. That would be something that that would be like,
yes.
That would be the early Christmas gift to the whole Caribbean island.
Yes, indeed. And with all the different festivities that is taking place in the Caribbean, you have Saint Lucia with their jazz festival. You have Grenada with their carnival and everything. We just need to focus on getting and assisting each other.
Yes, yes. And like I said, if we could get around from island to island, it would make things so much easier.
Yeah.
Because even if you're from Spacia to St. Kitts, you can catch a boat, which is not a problem. St. Kitts to St. Nevis, there's no problem. But if you want to do sports, I honestly think that the Caribbean should start their own leagues, basketball leagues, football leagues in the Caribbean, and baseball league. And play island against island, and I'm guaranteeing
that
sport will start growing big time. Yes, some island going to beat up on some island the first year, but as you play, the level will start leveling up to different sports. And that's something that I had on a platform to do, but when I look at it, there's no transportation is so limited in
Caribbean islands. Yes,
too expensive.
Yes, indeed. Well, I know our time is drawing near, and I do have another program that I have to be a part of. So I am going to say bid your listening audience adieu tonight, and hopefully we'll be back with you.
You better.
Yes, indeed.
Right.
So to your listening and viewing audience, I want to say take care, God bless, and we are one Caribbean. Let's do it together.
Thank you so much. You're the best. And we'll talk again soon. I'll try to get you back on
indeed.
Soon. Let me know what's going on. All right. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you. Okay.
You're listening to Rafael Skeet on the Caribbean Radio Show with sports, chat, and more.
Again, that was Jermaine Lewis. We connected about 5-6 years ago, and we were doing some work and trying to get stuff done and trying to get stuff taken care of. We try to work. She's all Caribbean, and next week on our schedule, we're gonna have Petula Skeet. She is the stylist, I should say. I lost my note, but she's a stylist on the morning show, Robin Roberts. So that Robin Roberts stylist, she's also a motivational speaker. We're gonna have a good program with her tomorrow. Next week, have a conversation, and for her to give her story of how. Her great ending start with small beginnings of how she became the stylist for Robin Roberts. And it was something where she did her hair one time, and I think the second time she came and told her, "I'm taking you on tour with me. You know, I'm taking you with me." I don't have the whole complete story right, but I guarantee she'll fill us in on what happened. That's Petula Skeet. And if I'm not mistaken, she is, my uncle's granddaughter. I'm going to do some research before next week. We're still trying to get Miss Coach Skeet again, another Skeet. She's a head coach for the Jackson State, I'm sorry, Southern State, Southern University basketball, women's basketball Division One. She's real busy doing what she's going to do, and every week I try to even get on 5 minutes to have a conversation. And she told me to keep bugging her, so she's always going to be trying to get on. She just have a lot going on around the same time that we're on air. Again, we're a platform for every and anybody. It doesn't. That's why we say CRS Radio, and it's a sports chat and more. Sports is not the only thing that we talk about. We try to make sure that everybody get a touch of what we're all about. What we're all about is to make sure everybody get to know a little bit about a community. And that, put it this way, it's a our program is a community program. So the community, if you have an interest in knowing that you want somebody to know what's going on and that you're doing in the community, let us know, man, because we're here to have conversation. There's some programs that only have certain people on them. We want all people, everybody, Caribbean. We are a Caribbean American. Like, we had Steve Munson on tonight. He was a teammate of mine with the Brewers organization. Great, great guy. And we were talking about certain things. I had a coach that I was with when I was at my Baltimore Orioles. Lance Nichols passed 2 weeks ago. He was a heck of a coach. I mean, he's one of the guys that when he walked by you, you just stop and let him pass by. You know, he's the direct kind of coach. But, man, he was hard-nosed. He worked. Mervin Bubba-Tree from St. Martin had an opportunity to work with Lance Nichols. I don't know if Mervin know that what he has, but Lance Nichols worked with Mervin Bubba-Tree. St. Martin had, if I try to give you names, I mean, the first guy that signed professionally with the Baltimore Orioles organization was Tony, his name was Edward Rohan, we call him Tony. The second guy was Glenn Patterson. About Tony was a very big guy. He was like maybe 6'2", 6'3", threw the ball pretty heavy. He had a very heavy fastball, talking about 88 miles an hour. Glenn Patterson was very lanky, maybe about 6'3", again, but very lanky guy. And Glenn Patterson was topping like top, you know, mid-90s, high 90s. And at age 16, Glenn Patterson was playing amongst men on the Caribbean Islands, and they couldn't hit him. I mean, he had a curve. His curveball was faster than the ordinary guy's fastball. That's how hard he threw his fastball. You know, Glenn Patterson's curveball would probably be like 88. And like I said, that was Tony Rohan's fastball. That was Glenn Patterson's curveball. And we didn't know how to – when I say we, I include the whole St. Martin Island, Caribbean Island, about taking care of young men's arm, making sure that they, you know, they ice, making sure that they take care of their arm today, that they'll have it saved for tomorrow. And Glenn Patterson would throw the baseball. Let's mow everyone down. I'm talking from the Virgin Islands and wherever they came from. Same, Glenn Patterson was that guy that they had pitching. And he'd go home and relax. He never took care of his arm, never took care of his no ice, no on his shoulder, no ice on his elbow. No one knew about it, you know. And he had an opportunity to sign professionally with the Texas Rangers organization. And I would tell you this with a straight, direct face. If Glenn Patterson did not blow his elbow out, Glenn Patterson would have been in the major leagues within a year, year and a half of signing that contract. They were so impressed with him. He was that guy. He was that young Caribbean guy that he would have been in the major leagues. But that same year, Glenn Patterson blew his elbow out, had major surgery on his elbow. And he just never was Glenn Patterson again. I mean, even Glenn Patterson would come back, try to come back throwing 88 miles an hour, which is faster than the next guy. I'm not saying that's what he was doing. I'm saying even if he did that, it wasn't Glenn Patterson, you know. But he was still throwing faster than the average guys, but it wasn't him.
And so Texas released him. He tried to go back for rehab, and you know, I don't think they knew how to rehab Glenn at all in the island, in the Caribbean island. And Glenn just never made it back to the top level that we all know he could be. You know, I was the third guy of St. Martin that signed, I signed with Baltimore Orioles. So it was a Baltimore Oriole, a Texas Ranger, and a Baltimore Oriole. And how I got signed, it was more practice. And there's a gentleman, I think I told this story before, with Rico Cotti. I think he was in the major leagues with Pittsburgh Pirates, but he was a scout for the Blue Jays, and he came to St. Martin to vacation, and he saw kids playing baseball, and he watched kids play baseball, but in the meanwhile, I was already in a camp with a gentleman called Jesus Chuhalabi, from Aruba. He was also a scout for the Orioles, but Rico Cotti was a scout for the Toronto Blue Jays. But I signed with the Orioles because I would say that Chuhalabi had my best. I wouldn't say that Rico didn't have my best interest, but Chuhalabi had the best view of who I am and what I'm all about, because he had me in his camp for like 2 or 3 weeks before I was contacted by the Blue Jays. So it's one of those things where, you know, I could tell any of these kids on the Caribbean Islands, man, back in the day with myself, I was blessed. I could say, thank God, that all I wanted to play professional baseball, and it happened, you know. But the day of today, it doesn't happen that easy. You know, it's very, very expensive. It's very expensive. Even now, even with me being part of the Savage Academy, it's not a free program. You know, people have to pay, but we are a program that what we do is we put the players on the field, and we try to dissect them piece by piece, try to get them into where they can be successful. Point, you know, everybody goes differently. Some people go faster than others. But myself and Tony Holton, we have some good coaches that help us along the way and try to dissect play piece by piece. And so you'll see that advantage go year after year, month after month. You will see them growing. You'll see the confidence level growing. You may end up seeing some teams with some horses on the field, and they might beat our teams, but their foundation is not set, because the next year you would not see the same kids together, because a lot of parents, they move their kids from one organization to another, and what that does, it doesn't make that kid stronger. Another thing I can tell you about again, Caribbean, listen to this. We need to reprogram the way we know the sport, especially baseball. You got to reprogram your whole way of learning the game. It's not that way anymore. There's so much different ways to it. So the older kids, like Jermaine was talking about the softball stuff. Even in the island of St. Martin, softball is more popular than baseball. Softball is more for like she called it, the beer league, the beer guy. They drink their beer, they have a good old time. It's like they almost just enjoy themselves and not worrying about what the youngsters need, the needs of the youngsters. So the youngster, and then the first thing to say is, his parent, he's doing this on the street, he's doing that on the street. Well, bring them in and show them the way. You know, don't just tell them and beat them up and say, you're doing the bad thing, doing that, but you just turning your back and playing softball and drinking beer and not helping these young kids. The reason why we, my age group, and younger, even I would say the baseball popularity stops with my nephew, Simon Ponce, that age group. I think he's 40 now, maybe 45 now, I think. That's where it stopped. And that's sad that even there's even St. Croix, which is an American island, baseball is not even prevalent like it used to be. You know, you have guys that came out of that league. You have Jerry Brown.
You have all these guys that play big leagues that came out of the Virgin Islands, and baseball is just fading away. There's a gentleman that I talked to, and I'm going to try to have him tomorrow, next week on the show, Camacho. Camacho is one of the guys who've been fighting hard to keep baseball going in St. Croix. You know, but you have so many people that bump in heads. It's like nobody wants to sit around the table and say, let's work together and make things happen. They're fighting. Everybody want to be that guy. You know, you don't have to be that guy all the time. You know, just work together. What's best for the youngsters? What are we going to do for the youngsters? I remember I went back to St. Martin, and I was trying to get some kids in school, in college, and the director of sports look at me and says, but what if they don't want to go to school? You know, my answer to her, tell them, you know, get a resume from McDonald's or something like that. Because right now, being a professional athlete from the island, the level of the sport is not high enough. It's not high enough. I'm going to repeat it again. It's not high enough for a major league team to go down and say, let me sign this guy as a major league, minor league contract. Or let me sign this guy. If you really look at it now, minor league has stopped, cut the draft rounds shorter. So the ceiling got higher. You know, it's back when I played, it was rookie ball, short A ball, long A ball, double A, triple A. Now it's not that way. You know, now you've seen a lot of independent league popping up all over the place because the kids now are not getting the looks that they used to get. So now they have independent leagues. Some are good and some are just, you know, a glorified high school game. You know, so we have to understand that as a Caribbean, man, we already start way behind. Stop the attitude. Stop thinking you're better than when somebody come in and tell you how to play the game and how to do it. Stop the attitude. Come on, humble yourself and just understand that you don't know what the reason why you are where you are is because you don't know everything in the sports. So when somebody comes in and try to tell you how to do it, humble yourselves. Stop being so egotistical and knowing that you think you know everything when the suffering is not you. The suffering is a young guy who is 12 and 13 and 14. And Jermaine, Ms. Jermaine, say one thing. After Little League, there's a gap between Little League. And then there's in the island they call it Double A. But there's that gap. Where do these kids go after Little League baseball? After you're 15, if you're not to that level to play anything, you're done. You're finished. So what are you going to do? Idle minds. What does idle minds do? You know, they do other things rather than when they really wanted to stay in the game. You know, I think some islands have school baseball. School baseball is good, but it's not what's going to make it happen. And you want to have a competition, a great competition, go back to where it used to be and have village play against village, cities play against cities. You know, you have this one from this area live here, that one from that. So they represent those areas and they play against each other. They represent it and they will represent the game better because they're representing where they're from. You go to school, you don't have coaching to coach the school up. You can't do it. You cannot do it. It's not going to work. It sounds good. You're looking at TV and you're listening to, high school baseball and this school baseball. They have the kids to do it. In the U.S., they have thousands of kids. They have thousands of kids high school, thousands of kids college. They have travel ball, a bunch of travel ball. In the islands, you don't have that. So you should just do city against city against city, and that would grow the sport because they would be more competitive, not the schools. City against city makes it stronger. So stop doing what you think, because if you're hitting that nail over the head at all time, that doesn't mean it's going to do. It's just hitting the hammer over the head. You know, what's insanity? Doing the same thing over and over and think it's going to change. You know, that's why we have to actually change the culture and change the attitude of how the Caribbean play sports. Stop looking at what other places are doing and think it's going to work for you. It haven't worked. It haven't worked. The best kid, I was in St. Martin 3-4 years ago, my last time, and I was watching this young guy. I can't remember his first name. I know his last name is King. I want to say Julian King. He's the best St. Martin had. His brother was also good. His brother's playing college ball right now. But he's the best St. Martin have. And he's trying hard, and him and his father's trying hard to get him somewhere. But the only answer they have right now is to get him in the Dominican Republic and try to get him training. But that doesn't – that's like almost like throwing a penny in the ocean, not in a pool, in the ocean, while the boat's moving fast. You don't know where it's going to land. It's not like you're thrown in a pool of water and you know it's there. That's the difference between getting a culture and changing your culture and making things happen. There's so much egos that goes on. I'm pointing fingers to the island of St. Martin. There's so much ego that goes on in that island of St. Martin with sports concern that the growth of the sports will never go anywhere. And then softball is the big deal when you have all these guys who bare belly. Oh, I'm not saying nothing wrong with men's softball, but are old. These are old people in the 50s and 60s playing softball, and their 40s playing softball, when guys who are 15 and 16 years old don't even have a league to play. How is that possible? That's the youth is who you have to build. And then you don't want to talk about the past. When I talk about what I did in St. Martin, other guys do in St. Martin, you want people to talk about you. No. I want you to remember what it was like. And if you remember what it was like, then you will want to emulate what it was like. Because these young kids, if they don't, that's why there's Hall of Fame. That's why there's museum. That's why there's people that know their history, because if they learn their history, they will know how to guide their future. And right now, St. Martin, and I'm talking specifically St. Martin, they don't even know their history. There's a kid I talked to almost 3 years ago, and I was telling him about his own grandfather, and he was in shock. He was shocked. His jaws dropped. I'm telling him about his grandfather. He didn't even know about his grandfather's greatness. He did not even know. Guys, You can't look at television and circle your life around what they do on TV. Those guys struggle too. If you look at Major League ball players, they make mistakes just like anybody else. But it's not what the mistake that you make, it's how you learn, what you learn from the mistake. And most of these Caribbean islands are not learning from their mistake, because the same thing is happening over and over and over and over. We got to change that, because if you keep doing the same thing, how is things going to change? We have to stop dealing with these 40 and 50 and 60-year-old softball leagues when you don't even have a baseball league for 16 and 15-year-old. That is embarrassing to me. And you walking around saying, oh, I did this and I did that in softball. But what did the 16-year-old and the 17-year-old did? Nothing. How could you feel complete when you see something like that happening? How? I mean, tell me where the completion is. Man, or somebody who criticizes you, and you say that this person are talking about you because this and about that. No. I'm looking at the way I grew up and how people were behind me 100%. And then you have people who were my age when I saw the light. That these kids can't even see the same light that I saw. I mean, come on. Give them something. Give these people something. Give the young men and young women. That's why I love the fact that D. Dixon and Mr. Hapton Brown is trying to do something for Jamaica baseball, because they're going to work hard to that, and I know that Jamaica is going to open arms and help these people with these kids. It's going to take a while, but I know it's going to help. They're going to help. Because it's new to them, and when they start seeing something successful, they're gonna say, you know what? Let's go for it. But the team, the island that already had baseball in them, they are so caught up in their own misery, in a sense, I should say, their own mistakes, and they don't want to fix it because they think that that's the way it should go, but they keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. I was on the Major League roster probably 20, 30 years ago, and nobody else since St. Martin was on the 40-man roster. Well, thank you guys for listening. We'll see you guys next week. Same time, Monday, 8 to 9:30. We'll see you guys. Thank you so much.